Good morning. It's great to have each and every one of you here with us today. Go ahead and get your Bible started in Proverbs chapter number 1. A couple quick announcements, and then we'll get right into our Bible lesson this morning. Proverbs chapter number 1 today. Remember, senior luncheon is this coming Tuesday. Starts around 10 o'clock. Usually most people don't show up till 10:15, 10:30, but it starts at 10 o'clock. We do have a Bible lesson during that time. We also have a time of singing, sometimes some jokes, some games, things like that. If you have not come, I encourage you to try it out. It's not intended just for the seniors. It's the main part of the group that's there, but if you're there, like I said, we have some children that come all the way up to 98 that come, so 98 years old. So it's a lot of different people that are there. I encourage you to be a part of it. Next big thing is our Kids Crusade coming up, just a few weeks away. Kids Crusade is, I think it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, so that's not very long. If you like to help and you have not signed up, please let us know about that. We've been giving out some assignments and working through that, so if you can help. Once again, it's just coming and sitting with the kids. As simple as that, you say, I don't want to teach. I can't do this, I can't do that. That's fine. We need adults just to sit with the kids and make sure that they behave themselves. So please, if you're able to help with that, there is I think there's still a few more snack items that are needed. Besides that, everything else is a go there. We do have a lot of postcards to hand out. So if you can help us with that too, please help us handing out those postcards. Okay, that's it for the announcements. Pretty short this week. As for those that are visiting with us, we do have some people visiting with us, and we get to give an explanation of what we're doing in Sunday school class. We're going through the books of the Bible, doing one book at a time, and what we're trying to do is teach why the book of the Bible is there, how it fits on this big overview. We looked in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we are introduced in chapters 1 through 11 who God was. We understood that God created the heaven and earth. We also understood that in that chapters, we understood why we are the way we are, talking about having a sin nature. We also understand where we came from, where we're going. And then after chapter number 11 or chapter number 12, God calls Abraham out. And as God calls Abraham out, he's bringing a nation. In those first 11, 12 chapters, we learned that there was a Messiah coming. There was a Savior that was coming. And that Messiah and that Savior was coming through a line. And that's what the story began in the historical books. We saw the story of Israel. We saw how Jesus was coming through this nation. And then we began to see about the Joshua and the Judges. And then we saw the 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Then we get to a spot, and we saw Ezra and Nehemiah. And then we get to a spot that's more of a poetical nature. We saw the book of Job, and we saw why the book of Job's in the Bible, and then we saw the book of Psalms last week. We learned Psalms was a hymn book, for the most part, in the Old Testament, how it was written over hundreds of years. And now, this week, we're at the book of Proverbs. And you get to the book of Proverbs, and you say, why is the book of Proverbs written in the Bible? And God placed it there for a purpose, for a reason. How does it fit amongst all the other books? What is God trying to teach us in this book? That's why we need to look at things and understand things according to the Bible. Things are written in there. Why in the world are they written there? And you got to get to the point. We need to try to figure out what God's trying to teach us. Because isn't that what's the most important thing? If God's trying to teach us something, we need to learn what God's trying to teach us. If God's trying to show us something, we need to learn what God's trying to show us. Sometimes, I don't know about you, when I was in school and you had to write these thousand word long papers, you know, you got the first 300 or 400 down, good. Then you try to find filler material. You try to fit things in there. You know, God didn't need to find filler material in the Bible. God has everything in here for a purpose. And these books of the Bible, you look at and kind of look at and wonder, why in the world is it there? And God has a reason and a purpose. And that's what we're trying to do, is give a permanent value, an eternal value, something that we can learn when we look at these books. This is the eternal value that we can learn from this book. Then we also have a living truth that we try to add in there, how we can make it practical. If you look through the Bible, read through that book, you can see from a devotional standpoint, what is something I can apply to it today? So we're here at the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is not something that people would look at and say, man, I wonder why that's there. You go through it and you read it, there's treasure after treasure of just godly wisdom and sound wisdom. And the important thing is we got to learn it, and we got to believe it, and we got to live it. Let's look here in Proverbs chapter number 1. We're going to go ahead and read verses. We're going to read part of chapter number 1. Let's see here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counselors. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice me, to entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and as whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and to make haste to shed blood. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today on the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that we need your help. Lord, I pray that you help us this morning as we look at this book of Proverbs. Lord, help us first of all see the importance of it. Lord, help us also understand there is a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Help us to see that this book here demonstrates and reveals unto us what God thinks about many issues of life today, and that we need to understand it and also believe it and live it. Lord, I do pray you help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we chose for the theme verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Now, when you think about that verse, what it's saying here is when we fear the Lord, let's see if we can get, there we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we have the right perspective of God, then we can begin to have knowledge. And we're going to talk about that in a little while, but let's do some preliminary things real quick. First thing I want you to think about is the name of the book. The name of the book. The English word proverb means a brief saying in the stead of many words. Don't you wish some preachers could do that? Make it short instead of a lot of words? Thank you for not saying amen. There you go. The American Heritage Dictionary defines a proverb as a short, pithy saying in frequent and widespread use expressing a well-known truth. Also, the Hebrew word has a somewhat of a broader meaning and can include a poem or a parable. And you'll see here that some of the imagery that they use is in the book of Proverbs is just wonderful. When we get to the end, we're going to look at some of that imagery. The nature of the book, and we mentioned it's poetical. And we talked about how it's grouped together oftentimes of Job, Psalm, and then Proverbs, obviously Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. Not only is that the breakdown, but many preachers use a further breakdown that's used in the Hebrew too. It's a wisdom book. That wisdom book would be Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. In here, you see the Hebrew poetry of parallelism. And there are three types of Hebrew parallels. First, there is a contrastive. It's a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So they teach you something by contrasting the two. You see how it talks about how the merry heart does good, but the other side is the bad. You see here the completative. It commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What it's doing is it gives you the helpful things, the good things, and then he says, this is what's going to happen in the end. And then you got the comparative. You compare the two. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And all these things you have here, it's an understanding is that through the Proverbs, they teach you the different parallels and how God in his wisdom teaches us about his word. The beauty of the proverb is that it's easy to remember due to its brevity and construction. You know, it is easy and it's nice to remember those. Some of those things, some of those proverbs you learn, some of those things you remember. You know, the idea that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. You know, they sang that as a song when Brother Skip was here. It was a little chorus there. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. It's easy to remember things like that. What's the theme of the book? It's written for the purpose of teaching. You know, that's the whole Bible is written for that. But it's written for the book of teach. It's written for the purpose of teaching. It is a book of teaching principles for life. Wisdom for living. Now, you think about it. People sometimes, they use this and they say, okay, read a chapter of Proverbs every day and you get to 30 chapters and then once a month you'll be done the whole book of Proverbs. So people use that as an illustration. Why is that? It's because in here you have some basic teaching principles from God's Word. Something you should be familiar with. Something you should take and look at and meditate on. And I know the book of Proverbs, you say, well, that means I'll read it over and over. And that's the point. You're getting to understand the mind of God here and understanding the principles of God. Reading a whole chapter might be too much, to be honest with you. Finding a good couple Proverbs, meditating on it, and listening to it, something that is profitable. One preacher put it this way, the Proverbs are meant to be to our practical life what the Psalms are to be to our devotional life. Here are the laws from heaven for life on earth. Here is homely wit for the daily walk, but it is human wit shot through with divine wisdom. And he who is well-versed in it shall be soundly guided and safely guarded. So there's some preliminary things here. And so I want to get to this, the main text of the lesson here. You know, you get to this spot and he says, what does the word philosophy mean? If I asked you today what the word philosophy meant, I think you would come up with some of these answers. A way of thinking, a mindset, or a heart attitude. When the Bible uses the word wisdom, they are talking about a way of thinking. They are talking about a mindset or a heart attitude when it comes to a particular thing. The Bible word for wisdom is similar to what we would call philosophy today. And to go back there and look into what the Greek words would be to describe this word philosophy, you got two things. You got phileo, or phileo, which means love, and then you got sophia, which means wisdom. So you put those two together, you know what philosophy means? It means to love wisdom. You combine those things, it actually means that it's someone who loves to learn. Now, that puts a whole different spin on it for me. You know, you think of philosophers, you think of somebody who does nothing but think and don't do any work. And you know, now, it's not that at all. It's a person seeking and searching for wisdom. It's a person who loves wisdom, a person who goes after wisdom. It does not have to be a wise person. It does not have to be a wise man. He says, well, I can't be. No, you can be somebody who searches and seek for wisdom. In fact, it is important if you want to learn wisdom and seek after and search for it, it's important that you understand that you don't know everything. If you know everything, then you don't need to listen to anybody. You ever met somebody that talks a whole big bunch and talks a lot about something that they really don't know much about? You can tell, but they think they know everything. They don't let you get a word in edgewise. And that's the truth there. But when you realize you need to know something, what are you going to do? You're going to look for it. So the word philosophy is in reference to a love of wisdom. And that's what we're looking for when we talk about the Bible and searching it. Now, you come to this idea of wisdom, there's two types of wisdoms. There is man's wisdom and there's God's wisdom. If you look here in James chapter number 3, he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. This wisdom, talking about this type of wisdom, which is man's wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There's two different types of thoughts. There's the way that God thinks on the issue, and there's the way that man thinks on the issue. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now here's the thought. There is a wisdom that is from above. That's God's wisdom. We can call it the Bible wisdom. You can call it whatever you want. And there's a wisdom that's from here on earth. And it's the way of looking at things through man's eyes and through the things of man's heart. Now, what is the better wisdom? And it's God's wisdom. And that's what we're going to look at here. And that's what the book of Proverbs gives us, is God's wisdom and teaches us. First, I want you to think about the world's wisdom. You think about the world's wisdom. You know what they're always looking for? They're always looking for what truth is. You come in and you look at things and everything's relative. Well, that's true in this scenario, or that's true in this situation. But the reality of it is true because God has set a standard and it's either truth or it's not truth. Pontius Pilate said the same thing. What is truth? He's there and he has got Jesus on trial. Jesus talks about truth. He talks about himself and you know what he says? What is truth? From a politician's standpoint, at that time, back in the Roman Empire, he's saying, okay, what is it exactly that I should do? Now, he knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that the Jews had delivered him up for no other reason but jealousy, and they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They knew he did not deserve to die. He said it on more than one occasion, but Pilate turns around and says, Yeah, but what does truth have to do with it? We got to examine all the situation, all the circumstance, and then come to this conclusion, what is the easiest and what is the best for everybody else. But that's not the way truth really works. Truth is something that is from God. Bible wisdom does not start this way. The world's wisdom is where things are explained away without God. You think, of, first of all, about evolution. You know, this idea of evolution is man's way of saying, okay, I don't want to believe in God. Let me try to figure out the way that God, this rule came about. You say, oh, it's a proof of science. Is this, you know, you go back to the hundreds of years before that. It's just ridiculous that, you know, they did not want to believe in a God. Because they did not want to believe in a God, they came up with this, and they called it science. And they came up with things that were so far-fetched and have fed it to so many people so long that it's taught in our public schools today. Can you imagine this idea that the world just banged into existence? And, you know, we were all created in this way, and we all came from monkeys, and this, you know, it's, I know we're not, it's not, it's just ridiculous. But you know what the whole thought is? They are trying to explain away God. That's the world's wisdom. Right. You know, you get this idea of homosexuality. And I, you know, you say, Pastor, you need to be sensitive. I am sensitive to people that are sinners. People are sinners. But you know what the world tries to tell you? Oh, they have to be born that way. You know what? God and His Word is not going to force somebody to sin that way. And it's not. And God calls it an abomination. God calls it these things that are wrong. So what is the point there? Why have we accepted that in the society of the world today? It's because they're trying to explain away God. If they can get away from God in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, we can do whatever we want because it's relative. We can come to it and say, okay, what works best for everybody else? And I think of abortion this way. You know, what God talks about. Where does life begin? And, you know, I'm not a political preacher. These are just things that are in our society. We think about where does life begin? It begins at conception, according to Psalms 139. And what man has tried to figure out is the way to make everybody happy. And they look at things relatively. Well, what is truth? Well, it's part of the woman's body. The woman has this right. The woman has that choice. This is where the idea is. This is man's wisdom. This is the world's wisdom. This is not where God comes. So choices, how are we going to live our lives? Let's think about it. Let's think about God's wisdom for a second. See, the Hebrew philosophers, they did not begin this way. They pretty much, you know what they said? I believe in God. That's it. Period. And what you see here is an affirmation. The Hebrew philosophers start with an affirmation. They begin by affirming God. In verse number 7 in Hebrews chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know what they say? Okay, God is supreme. God is everything. Period. That's it. And then from there, we learn what we need to learn. Yes, and that's what it says. The fear of the Lord here. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom begins. It's where wisdom starts. Where true wisdom comes from. It comes from God and His Word. And that's where the book of Proverbs is. It's here to teach us and to show us and demonstrate to us God's thoughts and God's mind and God's way of thinking. The Bible writers don't question God. They just begin their philosophy with affirming God. You know, many times people go out there and say, oh, I wonder who God is. I wonder where God is. I wonder what God would think. You know, all those things. But the philosophers, the writers of the Bible, they don't do that. Instead, they say, look, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom, it begins with a belief. A confidence, a trust in God. And if we truly want wisdom, if we truly want knowledge, if we truly want to discover the reality and the truth of things, it begins with this fact. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And when we believe that, what do? We believe what He says and what He's written for us. Bible writers didn't question God. They just begin their philosophy with affirming God. They believe there could not be a discovery of truth unless it was given through a divine revelation. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, you can get this world's knowledge. You can even probably get some money in your bank with the world's knowledge. You can become popular. You can, in this world's eyes, you can do great and mighty things with the world's wisdom. But to have God's wisdom and God's way of thinking, it begins with the fear of God. It begins with the knowledge of God. That's where it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What the writers are saying, they could not know wisdom unless they know God. They could not have a confidence. Their confidence was in God, and they started from there. And if you truly want wisdom, if you truly want knowledge, it begins with your relationship with God, being rightly related to God. They didn't stop and wonder who God was. They just believed in Him. They believed someone had to be in charge. And I put the example of an airplane. I don't know about you living in Elizabeth. Where I lived in Elkton, Maryland, we didn't see any airplanes when I was a kid. When I first got here and I saw those airplanes going all the time, that was kind of cool. It was kind of neat. And you go up there, you look at those airplanes. What do you see? You see this tons of metal up in the sky. And when you look up there, you have to know there's a pilot, right? There has to be somebody in charge. There has to be somebody flying that. I don't know if they can do a remote control airplanes yet or not. I don't think they can do that big. But even if they can, somebody has to be in control, right? Somebody has to be flying it. Somebody has to be the one running things. And then we come to this world and we see how complex we are made of. See how complex the world is and the earth and the location it has from the sun and, you know, where everything, how the whole universe works together. You cannot say there is not someone in charge. If an airplane can't fly itself, how can this world run itself? And that's the point, is that we get to this spot and say, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And they affirm this. If we really truly want wisdom, it starts with God. If we really truly want knowledge, if you really truly want help from God, if you really are seeking God's best and you really want to know what you're supposed to do next, get rid of the world's wisdom, the way of the world thinks of things, and say, God, I need your help. Amen. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, that's what we need to get past. But, you know, so what has happened is we have let the world creep into our thinking. We've let the world monopolize because we watch it on the TV. We hear it from our friends. We hear it in the press. We hear it in the news. You know, all those things. So where Christians today struggle with abortions, and Christians today struggle with whether homosexuality is wrong or not, or people that call themselves Christians struggle with, well, maybe there is a portion of evolution and maybe God just caused the Big Bang. You know, it's either the Bible is truth or it's not truth, and either it was in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and it's either when he writes these things in Proverbs, it's truth, and whether we're going to obey it or not. And here it is our permanent value. What's our permanent value? Why was this book written? It affirms where our philosophy comes from. It affirms where our philosophy comes from. When you go and you meet somebody and you study the Bible and you read the Bible, the philosophy of God is written all throughout the book of Proverbs. The wisdom of God. You hear little tidbits and little things, and it's just amazing as you're going through it and you read it and you consider these things. The philosophy of God, and it affirms it. It comes from the Word of God. As you get farther, as the world goes farther and farther away from God, farther and farther away from the knowledge of God, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb if you believe what the Bible says. You're going to stand out like you're weird or strange just because you want to believe what the Bible says. And to be honest with you, that's where Proverbs is. It's written here. It's affirming what God has said. It's affirming where we get our values from. It's affirming where we get our philosophy from. What's our philosophy again? It's the love of wisdom. This is where we're getting it from. Now remember, everybody has a philosophy. They like to say, well, I don't really consider this. When you're living a life, you have a philosophy, a standard by where they check everything out. You might not vocalize it. You might not tell people, but there is a way that you live your life by. There's a God standard, and then there's the world standard. What Solomon is going to do is going to give us learning, understanding, knowledge, so we can have God's viewpoint. That's what this book is about, to teach us and show us what God says. And we can reason in our own mind, we can sound good to the rest of the world and even to our friends and even to other churchgoers, but it doesn't matter what the rest of us think. It matters whether or not it's God's viewpoint. It's good to read this book slow and get God's viewpoint. You know, that's what we need to do. God is all wise, and the final meaning, true wisdom, can only come from God. You think about it, the sons of Satan and the sons of men. Remember back at Job? Go back to Job. These guys came before God. God didn't go before them. God is supreme. God is ultimate. God is the one that's in charge. God's wisdom is infinite. God knows everything. The sons of men came to him. Why? Because they had to. He was God. If God says you got to come, you got to come. Satan came. Satan wasn't telling God what to do. He was in a servant type world. He had to come. He had to go before God. He had to explain himself because God demanded it. Now, does God work that way? I don't think God works that way anymore with the sons of men and Satan, but that's a whole other lesson. But it's the idea there. God's not going. But the wonder of it all, the great thing of it all, is that God came to us through Jesus Christ. And it's understanding God's wisdom behind that. You know, it's because, not because he was servant to us, because of his love for us. I want you to understand, God is the one that is supreme. And that is the foundation upon we must read his book. Amen. This is the way you got to look at it. God is the one and is supreme, and that is how I read this book. It's got to be truth. It is God's word, and God is all wisdom, and God knows. His philosophy is the right philosophy, so read it, learn it, and do it, and you will do well. You know, Solomon took for granted that the wisdom of God expresses itself in all his words and in all his ways. And he couldn't get past all God was and all that God could do. You read this in here, and you understand what Solomon wrote in here in Ecclesiastes. And you saw all the different things. Solomon believed in God and the truth of God and who he was. If God is omnipotent, if God is omniscient, if God is omnipresent, and he's immutable, which means he is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere, and does not change, we do not need to go anywhere else for knowledge. We don't need to look anywhere else. We got his book. We got his word. We need to study it and read it and learn of it. And that's the idea here. That's how we look at this book. It's not a book of suggestions. It's a book that we should live our lives by. Now you go back to that first, those verses, and it says about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And this is an important part here, because you say, okay, Pastor, I got it. I got the Bible. I want to be wisdom. I want to be smart. I want to be wise in God's eyes. Then what is it that I need to do to fear the Lord? First of all, fear is not. It does not mean a cowardly sort of dread that strides to hide from God. You know, just because someone fears you and you're afraid of what God's going to do to you, that does not mean the fear of God. That, you know, you got a dad that comes home drunk and beats his kids and they go and run and hide. That's not the type of fear we're talking about here. There's two different types of fears here. You got the fear that God could hurt me. You know, here's the idea, that God could hurt me. That's selfish. If we truly believe in God, he desires what's best for us, guess what? That is not the type of fear we need to have. Instead, it is a fear lest I should hurt God. It's a reverence and respect and a love. This is a love. It produces righteousness in my life. And this fear of God is something we all need to have. We need to look at God and say, I don't want to do anything to fail him. I don't want to do anything to mess up. He is the God of the universe. He has treated me this way. I deserve everything I get. And I love the Lord, and I'm going to do my best for him. But that's not the way that the world works today, is it? You know, they like to make excuses of what's going on. Where is that from? That is the world's philosophy. That's not God's philosophy. And then after verse number 7, what you have is the arguments for the affirmation. You know, after verse number 7, what the rest of the book is all about is proving and showing the wisdom of God. You know, first you establish he is God, he is supreme. That's the affirmation. He is ultimate wisdom. He knows all there is to know. He has all the answers. And then the book of Proverbs begins in verse number 8. About the rest of the book, makes an argument of the affirmation of verse number 7. Every one of these proverbs is a living message of God's wisdom given to us in the Word of God. It tells us and shows us the mind of God. If he is the ultimate wisdom, if he does know more than anybody else, if he does have all the answers, then why do we turn anywhere else for him? And he begins, he shows us. This is really cool too. And it talks about how it begins with the philosophy of raising children. You look at verse number 8. Chapter number 1, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And then he begins to show you about training a child when he is young. Then he begins talking about children in the childhood age. And then they talk about the teenage years, because we are training them and teaching them to have God's wisdom so that someday when they're away from us, they will treat and act God. And he does this in the idea of the mindset of teaching his children. Now, could you imagine Solomon's kids? And how many wives did he have? And how many concubines did he have? Imagine how big that nursery must have been. But if anybody knew that he needed God's wisdom, Solomon knew that those kids needed God's wisdom. He knew. You know, many of them had foreign, strange wives or strange women as wives, you know, as moms. You know, they were from other countries, false gods. They wanted to build false temples. And if anybody needed to know it, his sons needed to know it. And his daughters needed to know it. And if anybody needs to know it today, our children does. And that's a whole nother message. So we won't go any farther with that. But the book of Proverbs teaches us in the different stages of life how God tells the importance of training their kids to the day that they end up going to the city and then they have to stand for themselves. Okay, so that is the eternal value, is to teach us it is truly God that we get our wisdom from. Teach us where we get our philosophy from. It's from the Word of God, and we do not need to be ashamed of it. We do not need to second guess it. We just need to live it. So what's the living truth? If we take the book and read it as a devotional book, we see what is the one thing we can do to apply it to our life. We need to seek God's wisdom. I mean, there is nothing else besides that to say, okay, if God is supreme, then I need to go and learn what God says about this. And when I learn what God says about it, guess what I need to do? I need to do it. It says here in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid if not, it shall be given him. You know, it's a, hey, look, if you don't got the wisdom, you know what that's saying is you don't have the wisdom. You need to go to God. And when you go to God, guess what? It says he give it to all men liberally. He's willing to shout out. He's willing to give it. It's nice to have be when you're a kid and you're around grandparents that like to give liberally. You know, they give out the money there. I know as parents, you kind of cringe sometimes, but as a kid, you think that's the greatest thing in the world. And that's what God is doing. He's willing to give out our wisdom to us if we seek him. And here's the idea. And he upbraid if not. Anybody ever make you feel stupid for just asking a question? I don't like that because I ask some dumb questions sometimes. And they're like, I mean, you don't know that already? Well, if I knew that, I wouldn't have asked you. Can you not make me feel like an idiot, please? And no, that's God saying, look, I'm not going to give you a hard time. What's upbraid of me? I'm not going to make you feel bad for asking. I want you to come and ask. He gave us a book to teach us. That's why it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understandings, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. We need to seek God. We need to lean on him. We need to trust in him. We need all these things. Now, there's a couple things there I'd like you to look at. It's a lesson for the most part is done, but there is a couple things here. I like the imagery of Proverbs. And it's really cool how God paints an image sometimes. In these Proverbs, we find vivid pictures of life at its best and worst. Some of these pictures are almost humorous. We are told it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. He say, Pastor, I can't believe you put that up there. Well, you talk to God. He put it in the Bible. But so you have the thought there. It is better for a man to dwell all by himself than choosing the wrong wife. And that's important. We need to teach that to our kids. We need to teach that to our boys. We also need to teach our girls that the wives can get this way. We need to be careful we're not. Some are very plain. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Yeah, you know exactly what we're saying. You know, don't stay longer than what you're supposed to. And, you know, go home when you're supposed to. Don't make them welcome to come back another time. Some are very picturesque. This is one of our children's choir's favorites, I think. It's as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. You know, these are imagery type things. You know, it doesn't matter how attractive or how beautiful the woman is in the eyes of the world. If they're a person that is without discretion, it's just like dressing up what it says, a swine. And that's imagery. It's the pictures of it. And there's wonderful things all throughout this book that teaches us and shows us the importance and God's wisdom when it comes to things. Also, there's the application here too. The relevant application of the Proverbs. As we ponder the characters of this book, we are brought face to face with humanity. There is the prating fool, winking with his eye. The practical joker, as dangerous as a madman casting firebrands about. The talebearer who separates chief friends. The simple young man who follows a strange woman like an ox goeth to the slaughter. Say, Pastor, you were picking on the women there. Well, you got the young man there that's following like an ox. So, I mean, that's not a very complimentary type thing. Some of these people live in our neighborhoods. Some of them live in our houses. Perhaps we can find some of them in our mirror. We got to remember this. God's wisdom is here. He's given to us for a reason. He wants us to learn from it. And look at God as supreme. This morning, in a service to follow, we're going to look at some of the reasons why God's word doesn't make a difference. And we're going to look at why, and one of the main reasons is not looking at God as supreme and following his word. Instead, we like to reason with God. And when we reason with God, we take our own way. And when we take our own way, in the end, there will be repercussions. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, I pray that you speak to people's hearts in the service to follow. And Lord, you help us remember you are supreme. Lord, your knowledge and wisdom is above everyone else. And Lord, you have the answers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. Hey, Mr. Bilger. How are you today? Feeling okay?